glory, hallelujah.
Glory, hallelujah.
It's to our God. Every praise. Hallelujah. Every praise is due our God. We're so happy to be in his worship again, his study of his word. And I say welcome to our listening audience today. And we say thank you for being here. This is your hostess, Reverend Carolyn McCullough from Spread the Word Ministries in Arlington, Texas. Reverends Rodney and Carolyn McCullough of Spread the Word Ministry will be sharing with you today. And as we share with you, we are still teaching from lessons from the Sermon on the Mount. And today we will talk about why did Jesus Christ come? So get your Bible ready with Matthew chapter 5, and we will be going through verses 17 through 20. Hallelujah. So we thank you for being here today. You are listening to Let's Do It Radio, found on the homepage of doitallinthemall.com. And doitallinthemall.com has been in business for over 13 years, black-owned and operated by Sharon Salisbury Frazier, and is a secure 24/7 online shopping mall providing over 5,000 stores, which we earn a commission on qualified purchases that goes back to your communities and not into our pockets. The more you shop, the more funds we build where your money matters as it goes back into our community. We can make black lives better as well as make all lives better and all lives matter all at the same time, making a difference by shopping nationwide, worldwide. So take a tour and shop every time you need. Amen. But don't get distracted from the word when we're in Bible study and worship, but go on and shop. Donations are welcome, as you can find the donation button on the homepage of www.doitallinthemall.com. Please share with all of your social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, and personal telephone calls. Call the people and tell them to come on in and share with us. So welcome, welcome, welcome to Bible study, and we're so grateful that you are here with us today. So thank you for being here, and again, turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and that's where we will be. Hallelujah. So we're going to ask Reverend Lil Broadway if she will lead us in prayer at this time.
Precious Lord, we just come before you this evening, giving you praise, glory, and honor, thanking you, O Lord God, for another day and another opportunity to be on Do It All in the Mall Radio. We thank you, O Lord God, for each time you allow us to be heard all over the nation. And God, we give you all the praise and all the glory. We thank you for Sharon and all the others that may have something to do and is connected to Do It All Radio. We ask, Lord God, that you will continue to hold them up and bless them in their efforts to get the word out to the masses. We thank you, O Lord God, for this opportunity. We thank you, O Lord God, for your son, Jesus, and we thank you for your Holy Spirit. Father God, we just thank you for your great love towards us and how you are balanced, God, how you love the unjust as well as you love the just. Hallelujah. We thank you, O Lord God, for your great mind and your wisdom, your knowledge, and your understanding that you impart to us, your people. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Now, as we proceed, Lord God, to study your word once again, we ask that you will just fill the teachers, Lord God, with your spirit this evening. Open up their minds and pour in your wisdom, knowledge, and understanding into them. Allow them and help them through by your spirit, Lord God, to teach your unadulterated word. And open up the hearers, Lord God. We just ask that you will anoint each and every ear that is tuned into this station right now in Jesus' name to hear the word, and that it will go, Lord God, to do that you want it to do, and that it will not return unto you, Lord. We ask it in the mighty name of Jesus, and we'll forever and always give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. And Father God, we just ask again that you will watch over this nation, that you will continue to bless and protect this nation, that you, oh Lord God, will send a Holy Ghost revival to not only this nation, but to the entire world. But we need to hear from you, dear Lord God. We need your spirit, Lord God, operating fully in this land. And we ask, Lord God, that you will even touch those that wear your name and say they are believers, that you will wake us up, Lord God, that you will remind us that we ought to be the watchman, that you will remind us that we ought to spread the word. Oh, hallelujah. Help us, Lord God, get up and start doing your will. Stir up that passion within us, Lord God, to even want to do your will. We ask the Lord God, and we commit it to you this evening, but we realize, Lord God, if we're not doing and operating in obedience unto you, we will not find ourselves spending eternity with you. So, Lord God, help us and wake us up today. Let us no longer be slothful in the mighty name of Jesus, but help us to be active in doing the work that you called us to do. In Jesus' name I pray. And I ask you, oh Lord, that you will bless the sick, that you will heal the sick, that you will protect and keep us all, Lord God, safe from hurt, harms, and dangers. But every time we look up, we find something else, Lord God, to trouble the mind, the body, the soul, or the spirit. But, Father, we thank you that you are in control of all of it. And so we commit it all unto you this evening. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Reverend Lil. We appreciate that. And so now we will hear one additional song. So will you play our song at this time?
Thank you. then one day. Oh, I'll cross that river. I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then at death, gives way to victory. I'll see the light of glory. I know he lives. So glad. Oh yeah, I'm so glad that the grave is not our final destiny. I heard it when Lazarus died. Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus said, you shall see your brother again. She says, I know I'll see him again in the resurrection. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Cause he lives. Oh, my fear. All fear is gone.
Religious section has all your religious items, such as Bibles in all languages, religious charms, t-shirts, and gift shops with anointing oils, and memorial shops with more shops coming. We'd love to put your religious products in the mall. From the homepage of doitallinthemall.com, please complete the contact us information and send it. As you shop through the mall, the more funds we build up, and a commission is earned on qualified purchases going back into your communities where your money matters. You can change lives and make lives matter while making a difference nationwide and even worldwide. Make Do It All in the Mall your shopping headquarters. Tour the website while listening to the service. Donations are welcome by clicking the donation button on the homepage of doitallinthemall.com. doitallinthemall.com.
Amen. Thank you for helping us with our preparation today. And so we say welcome to each of you who are here today, and I'm going to recognize our callers by the last four numbers of your telephone number. Caller number 8238. Please say your name. That's Janet.
That's me, Janet, and I'm in
Wonderful.
Southern Indiana. Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Caller number 7126.
That's Reverend Leo.
Reverend Leo, thank you. Where are you calling from?
Dallas, Texas.
Wonderful. Thank you. Glad to have 8238, you, Janet, and Reverend Leo, 7128132. I think that's Reverend Eric. Good.
That's Reverend Eric.
Welcome, Reverend Eric. Where are you calling from?
Cedar Hill, Texas.
Wonderful. Thank you. Welcome. And then we have 9455. Eileen. Yes. And Sister Eileen, do you have other people listening in with you?
Well, the whole house is sitting here. I don't know
Wonderful. Well, we
Chloe's in the household. And James is in the living room.
Wonderful. Welcome, James.
Chloe's in the hall and James is in the living room.
Wonderful. Well, we're happy to have each of you. And then we have 6920. Whose number is that?
That's me, Sharon. I'm in Washington. Thanks.
Wonderful. Welcome, Sharon. Praise God. We're so grateful to have each of you. And again, do all of you have your Bibles? Do you have a Bible handy?
Yes.
Can you please turn with me to Matthew chapter 5? Matthew chapter 5. Reverend Rodney is going to lead us. And so I'm passing the mic to Reverend Rodney right now. Praise God. Pray for him as he comes.
Amen. Amen. Hello, hello, everyone. To God be the glory. It is good evening some places and a little later other places, depending on where we are. But that's all right. I trust and pray that this has been a blessed day for everyone and that you have felt the presence of the Lord in some way, some fashion, or some form. Even if you woke up this morning, that should have been an opportunity to feel the presence of the Lord. Can I be heard pretty good by all or most of us? Can you all hear me?
I hear you.
Yes, yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Those are the feedback I was looking for. We've come this far by faith. Leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word. He never failed. He never failed us yet. Lord, again, we thank you for this opportunity. You are a perfect God. You are a perfect Lord, and all of the opportunities you give us are perfect. Now, God, fit us as best you can, because we are imperfect, into this perfect opportunity of study you giving us, oh God. So that means you have to clean us up from all of our unrighteousness, clean us up from all of our sins, clean us up from all of our bad thoughts and bad ways. For we want to be as perfect as we can as we study a perfect God and God's perfect word. So again, we thank you. We ask forgiveness again for all of our sins, that you might be able to work through us and use all of us to your glory. I thank you for every listener. We are spanned all over the place. But the good thing about you, oh God, is that you can be every place at the same time. In each household, you are with us, oh God. So I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your peace. I thank you for your power. Now lead, God, and direct us, oh God, as we open your word, as we study your word. Please allow it to be poured into us that we might be all the better. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Jesus taught on the backside, I believe, of the Bestie Mountain, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And he was there for days teaching his disciples. And so we are studying lessons from the Sermon on the Mount. Many today call those chapters or that message the Sermon on the Mount. We started out with the different faces of a blessing. And so we want to review that, and the way I want to review is the way we reviewed last week. You just want to read verses 1 through 11. And if there are questions, we can entertain the questions. If not, we'll move on to our review of the Christian purpose. So our review, again, will come from someone reading Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, or 1 through 12.
1 through 12, I'll do it for you.
All right, thank you.
It says, and seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Thus ends the reading of the Lord's word. May it bring forth a blessing to the hearers and the reader.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Reverend Lil. Thank you, Reverend Lil. So, and we had entitled that teaching experience the different faces of a blessing, as we heard read tonight. There's so many ways to be blessed and what the reward from God of the blessing is. So if there are any comments or questions or concerns about those 12 verses that was just read, you can speak now or forever hold your peace. And we will try to entertain. Otherwise, we'll move on to what we studied the last time we met. Amen. Hearing none? And then we move to the Christian purpose. In the Christian purpose, we were studying verses 13, 14, 15, and 16. Only three verses when we looked at the Christian purpose. So our review again will come in the form of someone reading verses 13 through 16, Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, and then that will bring us up to where we will begin tonight.
I can read that.
Thank you.
I can read it.
Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16.
Okay, it says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven."
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Janet. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Two descriptions of those who know and love the Lord. If you have any concerns or questions about those few verses, proceed into where we will begin tonight. So tonight, this evening, we want to look at why did Jesus Christ come? Why did Jesus Christ come? And our discussion will be centered around verses 17 through 20 from Matthew chapter 5. So I want to have a brief discussion. I want us to talk about why did Jesus come? Why do you think Jesus come? I've written down, if you had the outline, I had at least four lines to identify at least four reasons why you think Jesus come. I have written down about 12, but I want us to just talk a little bit about why do you think Jesus Christ came? Why did Jesus Christ come from heaven to earth? And there are a lot of reasons, I believe, just to begin our discussion tonight. Let me hear some of the reasons you think Jesus Christ came.
I think he came to teach us about the Father in heaven.
Amen. He came to teach us about the Father in heaven. Ooh, that sounds real good.
Amen.
And I know he came to also reconcile us back to God, because when Adam and Eve sinned, we became separated from God. And in that separation process, God wanted us to be in that original state of being able to be with him at all times. And so Jesus Christ came for what we call the perpetuation of the sins of the world. And because of his death, burial, and resurrection, all of us through faith can believe that Jesus died. Jesus lived, Jesus died, he was buried, and then God raised him from the dead on the third day after his death. And when we believe that in faith, we are saved. So that's all I'll say.
Amen. Amen. That's a couple.
That's a testimony to what Reverend Carolyn said concerning Adam and Eve and how sin, when they sinned, it brought forth a curse upon the people. And so Jesus, when he came and when he went to the cross, he released us from that curse when we accept him. We do the repentance and we believe he's the Son of God, and that he died, he bled, he died, and he rose again. And then we are justified and we're released. We're brought out from under that curse. But if we have not accepted Jesus, then we live under a curse, that curse that, and that was another reason why he had to be on the cross, because Deuteronomy tells us that cursed is every man that hangs on a tree. And so he had to, he was offered up even for our sins, but also to release us from that curse that Adam and good old Eve got us into.
Amen. Amen. That's good. That's good. So Janet said that Jesus came to teach us about the Father in heaven. Very, very true. Reverend Carolyn talked about how Jesus came to reconcile us back to God. Very, very true, Reverend Lil. Piggyback added to that. Jesus went to the cross to release us. He came. He really came to go to the cross. I'll just reword it for he came to go to the cross to release us from our sins that that began in the garden with old Adam and old Eve. Are there others? I wanted us to at least name four. Like I said, I got like about 12 written down, and I'll call them out shortly. But who else, or anybody else, or anybody who have already given one, you want to say another one? Why did Jesus Christ come? All of these are good, and there's many, many reasons throughout the Bible that led Jesus from heaven to earth.
Fulfill the law. The law had to be fulfilled also.
The law had to be fulfilled. Amen. All you got to do is read this, you read this a little bit. All you got to do is read ahead a little bit, and you'll see that one. That's what Satan's going to be talking about tonight. The law had to be fulfilled. Amen. That's really where I'm headed with all of this. So that's good. That's good. So, now, you know, was it the song that was just played? One of the songs, I believe, that Jesus came to love, heal, and forgive.
Mm-hmm.
He came to love. He came to heal.
Yeah.
He came to forgive. He did all of that.
Yes.
And you know what else?
Hello.
Jesus came to die.
Yes, he did.
That's really, he came to die. We talk about death and how it's a mystery, but the very reason Jesus came from heaven to earth was to ultimately die.
Exactly.
Jesus came to show us the way.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus came to be to be our Savior. Jesus came to defeat death, hell, and man the grave. Jesus came to encourage. Jesus came to stand in our stead. Anybody know what that means? Jesus came to stand in our stead.
Yeah.
Jesus came to buy our pardon. And Jesus also came to have fellowship. Jesus came to have fellowship. And Jesus came to fulfill the law. Again, as Reverend Lil said. So, let's get into the night study. We're just going to look at these few verses, and we're going to do verse by verse. Okay? Look at these few verses. This is verse number 17, and I'm going to read it in Matthew chapter 5. Verse number 17, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish them, but to fulfill them. That's verse number 17. The law. Let me say a word about the law. The law is talking about the law of Moses, which consists of the first five books of the Old Testament. Am I right?
That's right.
Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. The Hebrew word for those five books is the Torah. The Greek word is the Pentateuch.
Yeah.
So far, so good?
So far, so good.
That's the law. That's the law. That's the law. The first five books. And he says, do not think that I've come to abolish the law. And abolish means destroy, tear up, get rid of, right?
Right.
So what is he saying? I didn't come to destroy, get rid of, abolish the law or the prophets. Now let's look at the prophets. The prophets. The prophet's primary role was to make known the word of God.
That's
Isn't that right? Their primary role was to make known the word of God.
Uh-huh.
The prophet also called people back. The prophets called people back to obedience to God.
Yeah.
The prophets denounced injustice, idolatry, and empty rituals. The prophets make up the rest of the books. You got the law, then you got the prophets. There's five books of the law, and then the prophets make up the rest of the Old Testament.
Yeah.
So far, so good.
So far, so good.
So far, so good. If I stray, if I stray, and anybody realize I'm straying, please, please let me know. We're still in verse number 17. Verse number 17 again. Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I come not to abolish them, but to fulfill them. One of the things that was listed when I asked to talk about why did Jesus Christ come, Reverend Lil said he came to fulfill the law. How many remember when the children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness and God called Moses up into the mountains? And God spent some time with Moses, and Moses was gone a little too long for the people over there. And the people started to get impatient. You remember what I'm talking about. They started to say, where is that Moses? He came and died. He brought us out here to die. Where is he? And so one day passed, another day passed, I would imagine, and no Moses. They hadn't heard from Moses. So they come up with this grand idea. They come up with this grand idea that, okay, everybody take up all your gold and all your silver, and we're going to melt it all down in a big melting pot, and we're going to make us a god that we might worship, because it looks like we're on our own now.
Yeah.
It looks like, I don't know where Moses is. I mean, we out here. We got to fend for ourselves. So the best thing, that, I don't know who came up with the bright idea, but the best thing that they felt that they could do was just make them another god.
Uh-huh.
And so that's what they did. But while Moses was up in the mountains with the Lord, with God, God took his fingers, I believe, and wrote on a tablet. And God wrote 10 commandments.
Yeah.
10 commandments. Now, this is what I believe. I believe just about everything that God asked us to do is somehow stemmed in those 10 commandments.
Okay.
So I have them, if you may not have an outline, but I have them listed on the outline, and that's what I want us to look at, because really that's a form of the law. We know the law extends further than that, but the Ten Commandments is, I believe, where the law started. And all other laws pretty much somehow is tied to those Ten Commandments that God wrote on that tablet. And you know the story when Moses came down with the tablet, the folk were partying hard.
Uh-huh.
And they were worshiping another god, a god that they had made.
Yeah.
And he got so angry until he threw the tablet down.
Yeah, he did.
And broke it into pieces. So let's look at the commandments and talk about the Ten Commandments. I want your input as we go through this. And the reason we are talking about it, because Jesus Christ didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. And I believe, again, I'm being redundant, that the law started with the Ten Commandments. And there are many laws. I think I read somewhere in my study that there's over 600-700 commandments in the Bible. But some kind of way, all of them, the underlying reason comes from one of these Ten Commandments that Jesus wrote on this tablet. The first being, you shall have no other God before you.
Before me.
You gotta give me a statement. What do you think that means? You shall have no other God. Well, small g and plural, you shall have no other God before me. What does that mean to you?
That means what it's saying. You should have no other. You're not supposed to worship anything or anybody other than me. That's what he made it pretty clear. No,
mm-hmm.
You don't sit up and whittle. No sun god, no moon, no wind god, none of that. No worshiping stars, no worshiping the cornfield or the cows, oxen. None of that. No worship of the earth. No. You have. Can I make something out of hay and stubble? No. Can I cut down a tree and start whittling some guy? No. What about making a
right.
God? No. You can have no other God. And in our day and time, what about me worshiping my car? I can't let it get dirty. I can't let nobody get in here with muddy feet. I got to keep it excellent.
Watch it.
Oh, what about the house? Ain't but how? You got to pull off your shoes to come in because you might get a speck of dust on my... No, can't worship the house.
No.
Not my clothes. No. Well, you know, I spent a lot of money on my clothes. No, can't worship him either.
No.
What about
no.
my... What about worshiping my... No, you can't. Well, what about the children? No.
No. Yeah.
No, nothing. What about my job, my money, my profession? No. No other
none
God.
Of that. None
no.
of that.
None of that. Yeah,
none. None of that.
Oh.
Amen. 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 I said, you shall have no other God before me. I said, what does that mean? You said, just what it's saying. Just what it's saying. You should have no other God. And you went on and to expound. That's right. I don't know if anybody want to add to that, but all so much has been covered, and I believe that's exactly what God had in mind. Don't put anything.
And Reverend Hill made that very, very clear, because I just want to add it to you this way. Anything that you put in place of God becomes an idol god.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so she was naming a whole bunch of examples, but there may be other examples of idol gods that we have put in front of God.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Amen. I remember when we were going into the church building, and I was some Sunday morning, you could ride throughout the city in the car wash would have more people than the church.
All right. The car wash
would be full.
All over
the car wash is trying to wash their car. And the church house may have one or two cars, and 15 or 20 over there washing their cars.
Uh-huh.
That could be looked at as putting this in front of that.
Yes. Right.
It has to be, but could be. The same hour of church, lathering up those cars and making sure they leave in the car wash with a spotless car. And then they get in the car and ride, drive right by the church and keep on going. So thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Another one. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I am the Lord your God, am a jealous God.
Uh-huh.
What does that mean? What does that mean, somebody, in a few words? What is God saying in a few words? And it may overlap into what Reverend Lil was talking about, but that's okay. Let's just make a statement about what was said there. You shall not make for yourself an idol in any form, in heaven above or on earth below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for the Lord your God, I'm a jealous God. Speak to that, somebody, quickly.
Well, when you think about what the children of Israel did when Moses was on the mountaintop praying and seeking wisdom from God and the commandments from God, he came down and he found them making a golden calf. They had melted all of the gold and put it all together and came up with something that they can tangibly touch and feel. And that was to be their God.
Right.
And so that is a good example of having a graven image of any kind that would be to replace the God of Israel.
Right. Uh-huh. Right.
That's it.
Right. And you all know for us it's a good thing that God is a jealous God. Mm-hmm. I'm glad God is jealous. He's jealous of me trying to put something in front of God. We should be happy that God is a jealous God.
Mm-hmm. All right.
You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. What does that mean? You shall not misuse the name. That's the third one. I'm just reading them off as I have them printed here, and I took them up to Sunday school for the back of the Sunday school book. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Say a word.
We don't want to be taking the Lord's name in vain. People use the Lord's name in curses. People use the Lord, or they will swear by the Lord's name. Mm. And that's what he's talking about. So we want to make sure that we're not just calling the Lord's name to call it without any particular reference. And when we do that, and or to bring shame or disdain to the Lord's name. So we've got to be careful how we make those statements using the Lord's name. And then you can curse with the Lord's name as well.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't want us to do any of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It used to be a popular phrase when I was growing up. Everybody would say, I didn't say it because my parents taught me not to say it, but all of my friends would always say, I swear for God.
Mm-hmm.
They would say something and they would say, I swear for God. I wasn't allowed to say it, so I didn't say it, but I heard it all of the time. I swear for God. And I believe that's one way of misusing. And then a lot of times they'd be swearing for God for something that everybody knows a lie. But they still swear. But we shall not misuse the name of the Lord.
Right.
Amen. Yes, go ahead.
you was talking earlier about God being jealous, but was you intend to not finish that out reading that? Because
I didn't see that typing at all. So read what else is there?
Yeah, punishing the children for the sin of fathers to the third and fourth generation who hate me, but showing love to a thousand generations. A lot of times, you know, I ask that because a lot of times I hear people talking about generational curses, and they are using this particular scripture to back that up, because they're interpreting it wrong, because they're not reading all of it. They just read the portion of it, but they leave off the those who hate me, and they just stop at, you know, the part where you said punishing the children for the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. I think that it's important for us to separate the two and make it clear that is people who hate the Lord, who do not want to serve him. But it also says he's showing love to those thousand generations of those who love him and keep his commandments.
Yeah. And I had those three continuation dots after I am a jealous God, because I knew there were more, and exactly what needed to happen. You have brought out the rest of it. Punishing the children for the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. I'm repeating what you already read. Of those who hate me, but showing love to a thousand generations of those who love me and keep my commandments.
Thank you
for lifting that up. Somebody might ask, why are we looking at the Ten Commandments? Because verse number 17 says, I come not to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. And I believe that the law starts with the Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
And you also have a lot of preachers and teachers who preaches that we are no longer under the law because we're under grace. And so they're saying that because of what Christ did, we don't have to really live in the Old Testament, but Jesus' statement is letting us know that, yes, we do. We have to still live and apply the Old Testament law, and he came, which makes it easier for us to be able to fulfill the law by what Jesus has done. And we know that in our Thursday night Bible study, when we are studying about all of the sacrificial lambs and everything that they had to do to atone for their sins, Jesus is letting us know that we don't have to do those things anymore. And if we still had to do them, I'm trying to tell you now that all of us would be in trouble.
Amen.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, my
Lord.
Now
all we have to do is go and ask for forgiveness in the name of Jesus, and he is there on the right hand of God the Father advocating for us.
Because he didn't say, I'm coming to, well, in other words, he says, I'm coming to fulfill the law. I'm not coming to get rid of it. I'm not coming to abolish it. I'm coming to fill it. I'm coming to, in other words, I'm coming to enhance it.
Yeah.
You got the law. The law was good for, as far as the law went, the law was good for those times that it was needed for. So now I'm sending Jesus Christ to enhance the law. I'm coming to fulfill the law, not negate it, but to enhance it. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And I know there may be more do that as well, but remember the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath by keeping it holy. Somebody say a word or two about what you think that means. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. By keeping it holy. Remember the Sabbath by keeping it holy.
By keeping it holy.
Well, the Lord created us for worship. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, it's okay. I think that taking a day just to spend time with God, excuse me, that you spend time in the Word and just get closer to God, meditate on Him, take time out, a lot of time out. That's what I do.
Amen.
I don't have a church family right now, but I get my Bible out on Sundays.
Spread the word ministry, Janet. Yes, you have. You have spread the word ministry. Yes.
All right. There we go.
So that's what I feel about.
Okay. I appreciate that a lot.
That's good.
Spending time with God, just focusing on, okay, this is His day. Let's take some time out just to read and meditate and thank God and worship. So that's what it means to me.
Amen.
Exactly what it means to me as well.
Amen.
And whatever time that I have set aside is the time that I need to really spend with Him and not try to put other things in place of Him.
It all started back when Jesus created, and I'm going to read the rest of it, Reverend Lil. Back when Jesus created everything in 6 days, because Sabbath means what? Sabbath.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And on the seventh day, Jesus rested. He worked for six, and then He rested on the seventh day. Six days you shall labor. I'm reading the rest of that commandment. 6 days you shall labor. Well, I'll start at the beginning. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. And that's what Janet was saying. On it you shall not do any work. Neither you nor your son or your daughter, nor your manservant or your maidservant. So watch this. Nor your animals. You can't go plow in no field. Nor your animals. Nor the alien within your gates. The foreigners. You know? Nobody can do no work. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth. He made the sea and all that is in them. But He rested. He rested on the seventh day. And therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Of course, in the times that we live in now, we do anything we want on any day.
We got so far away from that,
it's
like it never did exist.
Amen. You done said a word. We done got so far away from that, it's like it never did exist. We do what we want on day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six, and day seven.
Yeah.
But we have gotten so far away.
Yeah.
I mean, even in the times when a lot of us were growing up, we could remember we were closer to that. We weren't on point, but we were a lot closer.
Yeah.
In fact, when we were growing up, our parents did, you know, folk would cook on Saturday.
Yeah.
They would cook their whole meal on Saturday night so they didn't have to turn the stove on Sunday.
All the
ironing and all that kind of stuff would be done before Sunday. You couldn't even go to the stores because they used to be closed.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Back in the day, you better get it on Saturday or you won't have to get it on Monday.
That's right. So far removed.
You're so far removed, as you just said.
So far from you. That's it.
That's a lack of teaching, huh, Reverend?
Yeah. It just got lost. It got lost over the generations, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
A lack of teaching. And then you know that love of the mighty dollar.
That's it, right? Yeah.
Had a part to play in it too.
Yes,
yeah. Okay, want to miss out on that? On that? You know.
One day.
That's right. And they figured out where we, you know, folks don't have to go to work. They work all week and they all Saturday and Sunday. You know, that's the time they can come and spend that money.
Yeah.
until they open everything up. Open everything up. That's exactly right. Commandment number 5, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land of the Lord, that you may live long in the land the Lord your God has given you. That again goes without too much explanation. Honor your father and your mother. Commandment number 6, you shall not kill.
Good parents, Reverend Rodney?
Huh?
Do they have to be good parents?
Do they have to be good parents?
No.
You have to honor them whether they're good, bad, and different.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right.
You still gotta honor them. But I understand that question, and that's a good one because they'll flip the script.
Yeah.
And say, well, my daddy ain't no good.
Uh-huh.
Why I gotta honor him?
Yeah, he ain't never did nothing for me.
He never did nothing for me.
Well, you want to live,
up?
And you want to be blessed in your living. So you want to do what the word says.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But as we read, I don't read where it says, honor only your father and your mother who are good. I don't think I read it like that.
And it's a promise with that. We will have a long life.
Long life.
Our father and our
mother. Yeah.
A lot of people don't know me.
Well, that goes to what Reverend Eric was saying. Folk lost, stuff has been lost to the generation because of lack of teaching.
Yes.
Kids are not taught like we used to be taught to honor our parents.
That's right.
You know?
Amen.
And it's crazy because we live in a time when the parents and the children sitting down drinking, smoking, doing whatever together. So ain't nothing, the parents are not going to open their mouth and talk about honor me when everybody doing the same thing, the mom and the daughter wearing the same skirts.
All right.
You know? So
come on.
They're not going to talk about honoring me. But the grandparents, at some place that needed to be taught.
Yes,
that needed to be taught to the parents and needed to be taught to the children.
That's right.
But we have gotten so far removed.
And sometimes the parents don't want even the grandparents to teach them certain things because they like to say, well, I had to live this, so I don't want my children to live that.
That's right.
So is that why we have our young adults passing away before their time?
All right now.
It definitely can be, for sure.
Right.
Because they
don't honor their parents. They're not honoring their parents. And they don't respect their parents in such a way that it's holy in any kind of way. Because we have a lot of youth dying in their young age as a young adult. And they're passing away, but if you check with different sources, you'll find that they didn't honor their parents. They didn't respect their parents. I even heard a story that it really bothered me just the other day that a mother told me her daughter told her she was going to kick her butt, cussed her out 3 or 4 times. And I thought, wow, where is the respect at?
Mm.
But the mother does all she can do for her kids. But you get that kind of lashing out when you decide you're angry. So that's why I said, is this why our youth, young adults, have short lives?
Yep. And it's really unnatural. It's unnatural for the parent to be bearing the children.
That's right.
But it has become natural. I think the Lord intended it for it to be unnatural. It has become common.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the children are supposed to bear their parents and their grandparents.
That's right.
Not vice versa.
But it's turned around, ain't it? And you're seeing the parents and the people getting older. I think that was this morning. I looked over there yesterday morning. I can't keep up to catch some of the news. And they was Channel 4 tells you, you know, they have that happy birthday. They be calling out the little children who, and I think they go out. 5 years, and then if some of the seniors is up in their 90s or something, they will talk about them. And they had one veteran. He was a veteran, 112 years old. And I thought, my Lord, you're starting to live longer and longer. You know, and so
well, and you know, the Lord placed that on my mind too. Lately, that I believe we are going to start seeing people live more longer, too.
Yeah.
But we'll see a lot of things come to pass if we are obedient and willing to obey what His Word says.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
Prayer has a promise to it, and like Reverend Rodney and Reverend Eric has said, that's a good possibility of why we're seeing some of the younger generation leaving here so quick, because they have not or are not honoring their parents, whether they're good or bad or whatever, whether they're together or separate or whatever, you still should honor them, because that's what it's a promise. He's the one gave the promise. So that you might live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. And so
that's right.
He wants us to honor them. They brought us into this world, and they are due respect. And
that's
so
right.
We will be able to live and have a long life. I think that God is looking out for the people.
Yeah. That's right. And we can spend several days talking about this because the children, you know, children will say, well, or people will say, you got to give respect to get respect. And they'll go, well, they're respecting me, so why should I have to respect them? But you just made that clear, Reverend. It's a promise attached to that. It's a promise. The promise that's attached to it is so that you may live long.
Uh-huh.
You know? They got to throw all that out the window, but they got to give me respect so that I can give them respect. No, that's not what it says. There's a promise attached to it. If you do now, I'm not going to sit here and say, because I never had to experience that. I never had to experience parents who were parents who put me in a position where I could say, I'm not going to respect them because they're not respecting me. I had loving parents. So it may be easy for me to look and say what I'm saying, but more difficult for somebody who had to deal with parents who were beating them or who were out all night or who were stealing and killing or whatever the case might be. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, see, that's why I said that. That's why I asked that question, Reverend Rodney.
Yeah.
I personally have heard people I've had people to tell me that. But I'm not, they didn't do nothing for me. I'm not going to do nothing for him. He didn't do nothing. She didn't do nothing. I honor him. No, I'm not going to, you know, respect. No, I don't respect they have a foul mouth about their family or their parents. And all of this, I have heard people literally tell me this. And so that's why I say, do they have to be good parents in order to? The Bible don't say that. It says honor your father and your mother.
Yeah.
Yeah. And since we all know God, and excuse me, God, for saying this, even saying this, but we all know God is not a stupid God, right?
Yeah.
So God is all wise. God knows everything. So, example, if a father is raping his daughter, and then somebody go to the word and say, well, daughter, the word says you got to honor that rapist father who is raping you. You still have to honor him. Well, the word says that she does, but God is not a stupid God. God will allow that rapist father to get whatever he deserves, and God will allow that child that was raped to raise to a level that she could be a blessing.
Uh-huh.
I'm just saying, I gotta fix it, you know? Gotta fix it. He'll make it work out.
Yeah, he will.
Right.
Because that would be a tough situation that I just explained.
Yeah, well.
The rapist father, telling the child, you got to still honor your daddy. Although he's raping you in the night when you go to bed, he's coming and raping you, but you still got to honor him.
Yeah.
That's a difficult situation. But I believe God will fix it.
And I've heard people, they went through things like that. But then when they come to know who the Lord was and made him Lord of their lives, they was able to forgive that father and even tell him that they forgave. They don't have nothing else to do with him, maybe, but they're not holding a grudge anymore. And that's the key. They was able to be relieved from that, because I'm sure it worked in their mind until they So God is a way to get us where we need to be. Hallelujah.
Yeah, exactly. Because I always look at the nature of God and the nature of Jesus and the nature of the Holy Ghost, and they're not going to sanction that. Although the word says one thing, God's not going to sanction that kind of behavior. So God would have to step in. He would have to step in and right that wrong, however God sees fit.
That's right.
You shall not commit adultery. You shall not commit adultery. That's the commandment. Many have gotten far away from that as well. That's self-explanatory. You know what it means, like thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal.
Uh-huh.
Number 9, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Don't lie on your neighbor, right?
That's right.
Don't lie on your neighbor.
Yeah.
And they stand with the neighbor. Commandment
That's
number
right.
10, they stand right with the neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. That means don't look at your neighbor's house and be jealous and want your neighbor's house, want what your neighbor got. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife.
That's right.
Can't stand on the porch. That ain't right.
That ain't right.
Ain't that what King David did?
That's what he
did.
You covered all them right there. Ain't that what King David did?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
He did the killing. He did the adultery. He stole the wife.
He lied.
He did the lying.
He broke all.
He covered it.
Yeah.
He took the house. He took the, when the man was dead, he went and got the wife and took it.
So did.
He took,
them,
he took in all of those.
He broke a lot of those commandments.
He was good.
So did. You should not covet your neighbor's wife or any of the maids, any of the maid or manservants, even the ox or the donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor.
Uh-huh.
None of it.
You can't be wanted. You can't be envying it. Desiring it. Leave it alone. It ain't yours. It's your neighbor's. Don't miss
That's right.
And now
That's
I have
right.
to back to number 7, Reverend Rodney, by committing adultery. Why?
Going back.
Why should we not commit adultery?
Why should we not commit adultery, class? Why should we not? It's one of the commandments. So we know the obvious answer to that is one of God's commandments. That's the obvious answer, but I know Reverend's looking for us to go a little deeper. Why should we not commit
adultery? Because God's
desire
is for the family to be together, and when he puts the family together, he does not expect the family to be disrupted by another man or another woman. So he does not want us to commit adultery. And then what he does is he compares the marriage to the church, his bride. And so in giving that, he's paying honor to the family. So if we are out there disrupting somebody else's family, we have sinned. And in our sinning, God desires to hold us accountable for that.
Yeah. And also, Reverend Carolyn, we can't leave it out. When the two becomes one, when they come together sexually, then the two becomes one. And the Bible says that nothing is defiled in the marriage bed. It didn't say nothing was defiled when you were outside of the marriage bed, because the body is supposed to be the temple of the Holy Ghost.
All right.
So all of that.
Mm-hmm.
He put body, husband and wife together.
Yeah,
he put them together in worship.
Mm-hmm. That's why, see, and the husband and the wife, it's nothing defiled in the marriage bed. That's good. It's fine. No adultery there. But when we step outside of the marriage bed,
that's adultery.
Because the body, well, our bodies are supposed to be the temple of the Holy Ghost. And so we can't commit no adultery. That's just
right.
That's not a choice we have.
Yeah. And the word says a man should have one wife.
That's
and
right.
A wife should have one husband.
One husband. That's it. That's it. No.
That's adultery.
What is that the Mormons do? No. What they call them wives, concubines, and all of that. Can't have all of that. There's one wife and one husband.
That's right. That's right.
And I know they call them when in our church, I have heard it said they call the women the conference bunnies.
Call them what?
The women who are sleeping with the married men in the church are conference bunnies.
Oh.
They hop in from one to the other.
My.
Yeah, that's all I can say too. My. My. So we're looking at, Matthew, we're looking at lessons from the Sermon on the Mount. And tonight we're looking at chapter 5, verses 17, 18, 19, and 20. Why did Jesus come? Because we started out talking about the fact that Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. So we started talking about the Ten Commandments, so that we can get a better understanding of the law. With Jesus coming, listen to this. With Jesus coming, the law has been fulfilled and passed away. We now live under the law of Christ, not beneath the law of Moses. Let me read that again. We now live under the law of Christ, not beneath the law of Moses.
All right.
All agree.
Hallelujah.
All agree.
All right.
Hallelujah. We now live under the law of Christ, not beneath the law of Moses.
Uh-huh.
Hallelujah. Verse number 18. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. An iota is the smallest letter of the Greek alphabet.
Yes.
Until all is accomplished. Let's talk about that. Until all is accomplished. All will not be, let me know if you agree or disagree, all will not be accomplished. All will not be accomplished until Jesus' second coming. Although Jesus said in John chapter 19, as he was hanging on the cross, it is finished. It is finished doesn't mean all has been accomplished. Am I right?
Uh-huh.
All will not be accomplished until his second coming.
Uh-huh.
Now that's what I believe, and we can talk about that if there's some questions, concerns, or comments. Because it says that, truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished.
Okay. Now, that was before
okay.
he went to the cross, right?
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
That's before he went to the cross. But
okay.
Now that he had been to the cross, the until he returns.
Yeah, I don't think the full accomplishment will take place until he come back the second time. I hear you, Reverend Eric. Now I know the finished work of Jesus was done on the cross. The work that Jesus was sent to do was finished, but the complete, everything won't be accomplished until the second coming. Go ahead, Reverend Eric.
Now, the finished work was the law. He was the only one that was able to complete the law. There was nobody else that could complete the law as it's written. As this week, the Ten Commandments that we just got through looking over, he is the only one was able to complete the Ten Commandments without fault.
Yeah.
Everybody else has failed. We all come short. Paul let us know that we all come short by sinning in the sin nature within us. Jesus is the only one that completed the law, and that's the Ten Commandments. Nobody else completed that law.
That's true.
Okay?
That's true.
And
that's true.
When he went to the cross, that's why he could say that.
And he went to where he
because he had completed it. Now, when he comes back, that's part of Revelation.
So you trying to submit that the work has already been you are submitting that everything has been accomplished already before his coming again. It's already been accomplished through him.
Right. When he went sit down beside the Father.
Yeah.
When he sit down beside the Father, that indicated it was done.
Uh-huh.
The work was done.
Yeah. But now he has one thing he got to do, but that was not so much the law. He's got to put Satan under his feet once and for all, do away with him. That's the and fight with Armageddon and the Antichrist and all of the truth. But that's
not the law.
That's not the law. That's just the finishing touches. That's what's left to do. Because we don't still running around loose. And we got to, according to the word, the Antichrist is to come forth. All of that and then it'll be over.
Okay, so nothing, in other words, nothing is going to be passed away from the law until all is accomplished, because I'm reading the words on the page. Truly, I say to you,
why I asked you until he went to the cross, because this is why he's talking like that, because he hadn't been to the cross yet. So he's saying ain't nothing going to pass away until it's fulfilled. From the law till it's fulfilled. But when he went to the cross, it was all of that. The law was, it was fulfilled in him. It was totally fulfilled in his life and his death and his resurrection. As the law talked about all of that. The law was pointing to Jesus all the way through.
Right. Okay. That's right. And I read a statement. I think I read a statement supporting that earlier. When Jesus, with Jesus coming, the law has been fulfilled and passed away. We now live under the law of Christ and not beneath the law of Moses. So I think that's what I hear both of you all saying as well. When he went to the cross,
yeah,
Jesus went to the cross. We no longer are living under the law, but under the law of grace.
And what the optimal word is living. But there is life after death, which completes the cycle that we're talking about. So the life in living has already been accomplished in everything. But there's still that peace that we will experience, which is the unknown, after this physical death. But while we're living, the abolishment of the law and the fulfilling of the law is made possible by Christ Jesus.
Okay.
Because he's letting us live like what? More abundantly.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
So here's what I want us to do. Anybody listen?
Uh-huh.
And when we meet the next time, I want everyone to do a study on verse number 18. Let me tell you what it says again. Verse number 18 in chapter 5. And I want everybody to do this. You can look in it. You can study however you are led. Get you some commentaries. Get you some Bible dictionaries. Do a word study. And I want us to, because we're going to discuss it when we come back the next time before we get into the new lesson. Verse number 18 of chapter 5 says, "For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished." And I hear what Reverend Lil and Reverend Eric are saying, and I don't disagree. But I want you to pay attention to until heaven and earth passes away, and I want you to pay attention to until all is accomplished. And as you, because I found some study, in studying this, I found some things that said, what I said earlier. I found some things that said all will not be accomplished until the second coming. But now I need to do more study as well. And so that's what I want us to do to confirm.
Okay, Reverend Rodney. Not being accomplished till the second coming may be slightly different than the law. Not being, because the law has been accomplished. But then there is things that has not. Like I said, you know, he's got to deal. Satan will be locked up for 1,000 years and then released. The Antichrist has got to come. And all of that's got to still take place before the final, final end, before God comes with the new Jerusalem.
Right, right.
So it's not that you are, it's not that you're incorrect. I think you are correct, but it's just some more stuff that goes with that.
Yeah, I would agree.
So that's what he's asking us to get some more stuff and bring it to the table.
Yeah, so I'm just asking us to look at that one verse and do like a study on that one verse, and let's share what we find at the beginning of our next lesson. And, has already been said by the two of y'all, Eric and Reverend Lilla and myself, that can be the beginning of our study, and we can see what else we find out, and then that might give us a clear understanding, because I think that'd be good, and that'll give us something to look forward to when we meet again at the beginning of our next lesson. Remember, and everybody can do it. That's verse number 18, Matthew chapter 5. 18, right? Yeah, 18.
18. Where does my comment fall in?
Your comment fell in with all of what has been said. So, and we're just going to add to what everybody has said.
so we can bring more, even more clarity to it. But your comment falls in with what I said, what Eric, Reverend Eric and Reverend Lilla said. So.
Because what Jesus came to do was to provide life worth living with that abundant life. Okay? That, and we're experiencing the abundant life while we're living on this side of it.
Yeah. Verse, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Verse number 19. Therefore, this is verse number 19 in chapter 5. Therefore, whoever relaxes, and I think I'm reading from the English Standard Version, so it may be a little different from your version. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Is that clear? Should I read that again? Because I want us to talk about this for a minute. Therefore, whoever relaxes, and somebody's translation might say this, something different. And so we can make sure we have the content right. Whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others do the same, then teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Relax one of the least of these commandments. I'm pulling that statement out. Relaxes one of the least of these commandments. That statement might lend somebody to think, do the commandments carry different weight? Because the statement says, therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments. Somebody might read that, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong. Somebody could read that and say, well, do the commandments carry different weight?
Well, but he's also trying to let us know that whatever the word says, we're not in any position to compromise, to change, to add to take away from. We don't have that right.
Yeah.
We don't. We don't.
Yeah, but it told us about that tittle and that job. In number 18, he just told us about it. So,
yeah.
We can't break it. We can't break one of those commandments, not even the least.
Yeah.
Right. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. But listen, y'all, I don't want us to miss this. That's why I'm going to keep y'all right here, because I don't want us to miss this. Least of these commandments. If a statement is made that one of the commandments could be least or lesser than the other one, that would lead us to believe that the commandments carry different weights.
No.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think it's,
okay.
I don't think it is talking about it from that perspective. I think the lesser weight would come with us demoralizing, demeaning, diminishing, or simplifying, or whatever. We can do that as human beings. God has not done that.
Okay. Yeah. Janet, Sharon, Eileen, I want to make sure everybody is listening, and we all are on one accord. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments, one of the least of these commandments. You know, we often say, and I believe, sin is sin. God doesn't weigh sin. God doesn't make one sin worse than another. And certainly if I believe that, then I would not also believe that the commandments are weighted. I would believe that they all are wrong. Whatever it is in God's eyesight, it's going to be wrong. From one all the way down to however many they are. And they all carry the same weight.
They probably, you know, if I say, well, you know, you say you should not steal, well, that's not as bad as might not, if I steal something, that's not as bad as me going out killing somebody. And I think that's how he's looking at it. I think that's what you're saying. But you should not kill and you should not steal. They both have the same weight. That's why God said don't do it. He said don't kill, and he said don't steal. So who am I to say stealing is not as bad as killing?
Yeah.
But that's
or lying is not as bad as killing.
That's right.
Or anyone else.
Yeah.
You are absolutely. But do you see what I'm saying? What I'm saying, we would do that as humans, not God. And God is trying to make sure that we know that if we attempt to do that, that we are wrong and in error.
That's right.
And
that's right.
Is to take place. So when you have people preaching and teaching that the Old Testament law is no longer for those of us since Christ Jesus has come, they are already in error. So
amen.
We need to back away from that kind of teaching, right? That's what
they're
talking about.
That's people are teaching. I know how me and Hannah here the other year, she took me to dinner for my birthday, and the guy was our waiter, and we were talking, and then he was quick, I forgot what we were talking about. He was quick to say, oh, no, we that's the law. We're not under the law anymore. We're under grace. He was quick to say, and I tried to explain to him, the two go together, really. You can't separate them. So, but a lot of times.
People try to do that all the time.
Yeah.
So, but why are we doing it? We're doing it to help justify our sinful state. And that is also wrong.
That's wrong.
I can't change the word to fit what I wanted to say.
No.
Amen.
I need to take it for what it has said.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And try to live it accordingly.
So, Reverend Lil, read verse 19 in the Bible that you have.
King James said, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven.
And whosoever
do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And it says that shall do and teach. Now this one up here, starting with verse 9, says shall break one of these least. Didn't say nothing about, but this says to do and teach to them the same. Shall be called great kingdom of heaven. And that's what we want to do. We don't want to be trying to shortcut the word.
Yeah. So in my translation, it speaks of teaching in both instances. And I have here written, it's one thing to hurt yourself, but it's an entirely different ballgame when you hurt others. You know, if I don't want to do right, but then I teach somebody else not to do right, that's even a larger deal. If I want to break one of the commandments, but, you know, then let that be on me. But if I choose to teach others to break it, then that's really, really, really adding insult to the injury.
Trouble.
And I think it's double trouble.
So he's already warned us that not many of us should be teachers. For that reason, we want to be careful in making sure that we're giving people the pure, unadulterated word. So that they can follow the law as God has given it, or the commandments as Jesus has given it. However it is, it's not up to us to change it. And for me to minimize it and say, me picking up this pen is not stealing.
Okay.
If the pen doesn't belong to me, it is stealing.
That's right. That's right. So if I try to change one of the commandments and teach others to do the same, I'm going to be called least in the kingdom. But if I keep the commandments and I teach others to do the same, I will be called great in the kingdom. Let's talk about this for a minute. Is the kingdom of heaven that's listed here, is that heaven?
is the kingdom of heaven. You see that phrase, the kingdom of heaven that listed in verse 19. Is that the heaven that we know of that we are looking to go to one day?
I believe so.
I believe
I don't know
so too.
For other kingdom in heaven.
I believe
we
so.
Only have one heaven.
Because when you look in the New Testament, the kingdom of heaven is referenced. Jesus references the kingdom of heaven so many times.
Well, but I think the kingdom of heaven also can be referenced because, remember, Jesus' work was also to help us have an abundant life and living more of a fulfilled life. So as we're living that life, that would be like heaven right here on earth.
Well, let's read it and see let's read it again and see how we are led.
So therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Yeah, that is the eternal heaven.
Okay. And whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Again, is it safe to say that the kingdom of heaven is heaven, the heaven that we know of?
Yes.
If so, watch this, y'all. If so, are there levels of degree in heaven? Because it's saying, whoever does them and teach them will be called
least.
Well, whoever break them and teach others to break them will be called least.
Yeah.
Whoever does them and teach others to do them will be called great.
And
so are there levels in heaven? Are some in heaven greater than others?
Reverend Rodney, when you go before the seat of Christ, there will be some who will get rewards upon rewards upon rewards for the works that they have done here. And there will some who will not receive rewards, but they will still have their salvation.
And they still get in.
Yeah.
They still have their salvation.
They might not have but one reward
or no reward, but they'll have their salvation because they didn't do the work.
Now,
yeah.
And that's going to take me back to our discussion when I talked about the mansion.
Yeah.
And I was saying that there could be various degrees of mansions, and that would lead me to believe that my mansion could be bigger than yours or your mansion could be bigger than mine.
And I can see how that, I can understand that from reading this. And I hope we're not losing everybody. I know we got Reverend Lil, myself, Eric Goodson talking, Reverend Carol, and I hope others are still with us.
Are you all still following what we're talking about?
Not getting frustrated and saying, what in the world are they talking
yes.
about?
Yes.
Wonderful.
Yes.
That's all that matters. As long as we all on the same page, because the Lord does not bring any confusion in his word. And so we want to make sure that we are all clear. So just know that he has given the law, and he has given the law in Old Testament, and Jesus came to fulfill the law in New Testament, and now what he's doing is allowing us to be able to follow the law in a more easier or excellent way because we have Christ.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. So Reverend Lil brought some clarity to that as well, and Reverend Carolyn. So we will be rewarded based upon our work. So our rewards can be different. And so
we'll be going before the judgment seat of Christ for is to see that we have done or have not done. We will not be going before the great white throne judgment to be looking at our sins because we have already been justified when we accept Jesus as our Savior. So why we go, the believers of Christ go one way and the non-believers go another way. And so we are there to see the Lord. That's why I say, I'm always saying, I'm sure I can hear Jesus asking us, what have we done to encourage others to come to him? Because that's our job. that's the work that we are to do, is to spread the word about Jesus Christ and him crucified so that others can do what we've done, come to him, or at least have that opportunity, you know? And that's what the judgment seat of Christ is all about. But now the great white throne judgment, that's the ones that did not believe, did not want to believe, that rejected him, that refused to, don't want to hear nothing about it. That's where they going, over them, over there. They going before God Almighty, the Father. We're going to Jesus, the Son.
Amen. Amen. That's good. The last verse, verse number 20. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribe and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Let's look at righteousness. I'll read it again. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribe and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Let's look at righteousness. Righteousness and the word righteous appears 540 times in 520 verses in the Bible. Okay? The word righteousness and the word righteous appears 540 times in 520 verses in the Bible. A definition of righteousness is right standings with God. Righteousness is the condition of being in right relationship with the Lord. This can only happen through the total faith and dependency upon God. This came from an article from the Internet, February 27, 2019, an article from the Internet. It made sense, so I wrote it. That's a good definition of righteousness. Definition of righteousness is right standing with God. Righteousness is the condition of being in right relationship with God. The text says, for I tell you, unless your right standing with God, unless your right relationship with God exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees. Let's talk about the scribes and the Pharisees. The scribes was a group of people whose profession was mainly writing. The Pharisees was an elite group of political and religious leaders noted for strict observance of rites and ceremonials of the written law. So the Pharisees tried to follow the law of Moses to the T. At least that's what they taught. They didn't do it. The scribes were the ones who were professional writers. Okay? So it says, unless our righteousness exceeds those people, you will never enter into the kingdom of heaven. So it stands to say that their righteousness was not that righteous.
Right.
It was self-righteousness.
He referred to them as hypocrites.
Self-righteousness. Yes.
And I have several scriptures listed here. You might want to write them down. Luke 11, verses 37 through 54. Y'all can read these later. But these are going to reference the scribes and the Pharisees and how Jesus talked to them and how Jesus talked about them. Luke 11. 37 through 54.
37, okay.
Write them down. We won't read them now, but write them down. Matthew 23 and verses 1 through 39. I'm sure these are stories that we are familiar with, that Jesus are talking about and calling out the scribes and the Pharisees.
Uh-huh.
He does it throughout the New Testament. Mark chapter 12, verses 35 through 40. And Luke chapter 20. Verse 45 through 47. All of these will reference the scribes and the Pharisees and things that Jesus are sharing with them or rebuking them or simply calling them out, for lack of a better phrase.
Well, and I think Jesus is real clear. The scripture is clear also on letting us know that all of our righteousness is still as what?
Filthy
rags. And so there's nothing righteous in us except what God does in us and through us by his spirit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Right.
So given that, I'm not in a position to flaunt my righteousness. I'm not in a position to talk about my righteousness, but I am in a position to know that because of me having Christ, if I keep Christ, Reverend Neal and I was discussing this morning, if I keep Christ as the center of my life, then I am more apt to sin less.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
And in my aptness to sin less, he is able to look at my righteousness in a different light.
That's right. That's right. Amen. Very good. Thank you, Reverend. And so the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees were based on the commandments of Moses. They were based on Moses' law. They obviously wasn't based on Jesus' life and death because he hadn't died yet for their life to be based upon that. So their righteousness, they were basing their righteousness on the law.
On the law.
Mm-hmm. On the law.
But for us, it's a little bit different now.
For us, it's different.
Not a little bit. It's a lot different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because we can be more successful in living that joyous, abundant life that Jesus came and died for us to live by.
Amen. Amen. So that brings us to the end of this lesson. And we've done good. We've exhausted verses 17, 18, 19, and 20. 17, 18, 19, 20. Four verses. And so remember, when we come back, we're going to look at the verse that I've asked us to do, study.
Matthew
5, 18. Just take one verse and bring, and we all will bring some what we researched and find and match it all back up and get a little more clarity. Next time, we're going to be studying about anger and love. So please don't miss. Don't miss when we come back together. We're going to be studying about anger. We're going to be studying about, these are Jesus' words about anger, about lust, about divorce, and about oath. Taking an oath, giving an oath. Okay? As we go forward, we'll look at retaliation and love your enemies. So we're going to walk through. We're going to walk through chapter 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew, lessons from the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus taught for days, I believe, the backside of this mountain.
Amen. Now we want to see if there are any prayer requests. Anybody have anything they would like to submit for prayer?
I know we should pray for Sharon because she's very sick right now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's great. We can do that. Anybody else?
It's Wanda.
Right. Please go ahead on and call them out. We want to pray for Laura, and we want to pray for the McCoy family in the loss of Chuck Jr. And so, let's see who else. Anybody else that you can think of? Shanti, O'Brien, and Chloe.
Tanya and Nina.
That's okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Pastor Carolyn, there was a family of five children. I read this story on the internet. It was on Yahoo. Five children. The youngest is 3 weeks old, lost mother and father this week to COVID. Those kids are being taken care of by the grandparents now, the Davy family.
Lost the mother and the father.
And the young kids, huh? 27 and 30, 37.
Wow.
Okay. Family of five.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that is sad. Yeah. And then we want to continue to pray for the Nichols family.
Yes. Have you heard anything?
Huh?
Have you heard anything?
Yeah, the funeral is next Tuesday.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So let us pray. And then we want to do an invitation. I will pray, and then after we're done, Reverend Eric, will you do an invitation for us?
Sure.
Amen.
Yes, ma'am.
So Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this study. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your unity. And we thank you, oh God, for the teacher. We come blessing your name today and thanking you for reminding us, hallelujah, as to how we are to live. And when we look at exactly why did Jesus come, now that Jesus has come, we pray that many will make their decision to come to Jesus because he came for us. So we just thank you now for what you're doing. We thank you for Sharon, and we pray your peace and your blessing and your healing upon her now in the name of Jesus. Bless her, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Help her to be able to breathe comfortably. Help her to be able to rest comfortably. And help her to understand that she's only one person and she can't take on more than she can handle. So we just ask you now that you will level things out for her in the name of Jesus. We come lifting up our sister evangelist Wanda Broadway, and we pray, oh Lord, that your healing will be there for her as she is going through. We pray you will protect her, oh God. We lift up Laura, who is sick with the COVID. And we ask that you be with her and her family as the others are being tested now to see where they are as well. We lift up the McCoy family in the loss of Chuck. And we thank you, oh God, for hearing the need and supplying the need according to your riches and glory. You have already provided more than enough. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. We honor you and bless you for Shanti, and I pray that he is getting some relief from his pain. I thank you for the healing that you're bringing to Chloe, and she will be back on her feet and able to do all that she needs to do very soon, oh God. We lift up Sister Tanya, and we thank you for her and praying full healing for her as well. I lift up Nina Nyson, and I pray you will continue to work with her. Work with her kidney, oh God, and allow the kidneys to function in the manner that you created them to function, oh God. And we thank you for the family of five. We pray for those children, and we know that as you have chosen to take the mom and the dad and the grandparents now have the children, that you're going to supply all of their needs according to your riches and glory. So I lift that family up. I lift up the children who will grow up without their parents. So I'm asking you to become a parent to these five children. Thank you for Nick and Chris's family. And we pray, oh God, that you will continue to bless the Nichols. And as we prepare to lay her to rest on next Tuesday, that you will go before us and you will provide a way so that all of the needs will be made. We thank you. We lift up her daughters, and we lift up her little grandson, and we pray that you be with all of the grandchildren. In the name of Jesus, replenish to them what it is that they feel they need in the loss of Pastor Chris now. In the name of Jesus. Then we lift up Redeeming Grace AME Zion Church, and I pray, oh God, that you will not let that church, your church, miss a beat during this time of bereavement. We thank you for Pastor Nick, and we know that Clarence Nichols is going to lead like you have already ordained him to lead. So we thank you, Lord, but I pray that they will not be so consumed with the busyness of taking care of others that they fail to take care of themselves. Thank you, oh God, for what you're doing. In the mighty name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. We thank you again for your word. We thank you for your peace. We thank you for your healing. And we just ask now in the name of Jesus that you will continue to do what needs to be done in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all of your blessings. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. And we offer it all to you now. Amen. Amen. And so, Reverend Eric, will you do an invocation for us, please?
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. As we gather right now, in the audience, there might be someone that feels kind of heavy, kind of burdened right now, and their heart is saturated and wants to be filled, wants to know what it is that we're talking about, what a Savior is, wants to know what Jesus is all about. This is the time. This is the time we set aside for him. For him to touch your heart even more so. Open the door right now. If you have not accepted him as your Lord and Savior, allow me right now. Just open up your heart. You might be already feeling the overwhelming joy and don't know what it is. He's trying to get in. He wants you to accept him right now. He wants you to be in his family. You might not have a family that you can depend on, but you can depend on Jesus. For he's calling you. He's asking you to let him in. He's knocking at the door.
Yes,
and if
Lord.
If your heart is ready, let him come in right now. Just say, Lord, come into my heart and believe in your heart that he is coming. Ask him to lead and guide you right now. Lord, lead me through this particular time. For I have sinned and I do need a Savior. I need a Savior. No other Savior can do what Jesus has done for you already. He has died for you. He has made a way for you to live eternally with him. In a kingdom to come. In a place that he has already made sure that you had a spot. By accepting him tonight and asking him into your heart, you will be part of his family. A multitude of people in his family. From the very beginning of time until right now, and as long as time goes on, the people accept Jesus as Savior, it will be a number that can't be counted. Be in that number. Allow him to take in you as his child. Be a part of that. Sometimes we say we're not a part of anything. Be a part of this.
Yeah.
Let your heart not be troubled anymore. Give your weight over to Jesus. Or he'll carry your load and bring you through. Oh, Father God, we ask that you touch those hearts, those minds that seek you, those that have been wanting to know who you really are right now, Father. We ask that you touch them. Send thy Holy Spirit and allow them to know that you are able. That you are able to change the lives of your people. So those that want to be a part of you, those that need you, those that are seeking you and not sure what they're doing, Lord. Give them that reassurance. Allow them to know that you're able, Lord God. Put their hands in your hands, Lord. Comfort them right now. Jesus' name. We pray, O Lord. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we know they're good. We know they're done. For you are mighty God. Mighty God. Ever change. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. I'm so grateful for what he is doing in all of our lives. Are you happy to be on the line today? Are you happy to be saved today? Are you happy to be filled
Amen.
With his spirit today?
Yeah.
I know there's a blessing that we all have Jesus, and there's not anything else that we can do but continue to serve him. He is worthy to be praised, and we thank God for Jesus. And so we are ready now to benedict. And so receive now this benediction. God is strong and can help you not to fall. He can bring you before his glory without any wrong in you. And he can give you great joy. He is the only God, the one who saves us. To him be glory, greatness, power, and authority. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. For all time, past, now, and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And we will see you next time. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So have a great
Amen.
Evening. And just know that we have been your hosts, Reverend Carolyn McCullough, Reverend Rodney McCullough, Reverend Lil Broadway, Reverend Eric Broadway, Sister Eileen, Whitney, and we all are from Spread the Word Ministries here in Arlington, Texas, and you've been listening to Let's Do It Radio, which can be found on the homepage of Do It All at the Mall, doitallinthemall.com, the only place where you can shop for anything you need on a secure line 24/7 and find great listening entertainment all in the comfort of your home. Shop through doitallinthemall.com where you will find all of your religious items, your Bibles in all languages, religious charms, religious t-shirts, and religious gifts. You will find also in the gift shop anointing oils and memorial shops with more shops to come in the religious section of Do It All in the Mall. And if you have a religious product that you would like to promote and bring to Do It All in the Mall, please go to the home page and fill out one of the contact forms found on the home page of doitallinthemall.com. And now we will hear a commercial and get ready to be dismissed. Amen.
Amen.
Welcome to the family of God. I ask that you go to the home page of doitallinthemall.com and complete a contact form and place your information there, and we'll send some information to you by mail to help you better understand what's happened to you when you gave your life to Christ. We also invite you to attend Bible study with us by calling in at 845-241-9985.
Good night.